welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Welcome back to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hello.
And from Wreck My Podcast, Cam.
Yeah, I'm Skyping in all the way from ye olde Southern California.
Woohoo! But you guys are here with me today. We are...
We're doing a podcast.
We're on the fourth issue of this X-Men arc, issue 63. And if you'd like to listen to our previous issues, go check out the last three episodes and check out episodes 76 through 81.
Hey, didn't even look at the book this time.
I'm remembering after like eight times.
This is going to sound kind of retarded, but I just realized the tagline on the X-Men for these is the strangest teens of all.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they were supposed to be teenagers.
Yeah, I think we had this conversation in the last grouping because they definitely act like they are early 20s.
Yeah.
Well, especially since, Alex just graduated college.
Yeah.
So
that can't be a teenager.
Yeah, exactly. You literally can't.
So, unless he's, like, amazingly gifted.
And we've listened to him talking here, so we know he's not.
So we start out this issue after the big reveal of Magneto being the creator. He is in the Savage Land creating... Well, he's creating the non-mutant variants.
Yeah, I guess that would be what he's making.
Yeah, like a non-variant army.
So basically, Professor X knew what the fuck he was doing because he had it down there in his notes. And he was just like, okay, chill with the non-mutant variants.
Well, no, he knew that Lycos was a non-mutant variant.
But how did he know about non-mutant variants?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Because he's Professor X.
Well, see, that's...
What happened was I was dipping into some mines looking for some porn.
I was going to bring this up when they had that reveal of Lycos. If Xavier knew Lycos was not a good guy, why would he tell his team of X-Men that this was an old colleague of mine that you could go to him if something goes wrong?
Maybe it was a cheeky way that little wheelchair bitch would be able to like get them to test their skills. Right? Like, maybe another test.
Maybe. I mean, so, because that's...
It's not going to be that bad. He's just going to make you hallucinate. It's the 60s. We all hallucinate. Like, it's fine.
That's true. Because I know at this point in time, Xavier is, quote-unquote, dead for, like, the second time.
Right.
It wasn't a comic book if you didn't kill off somebody every now and then. Then bring him back.
Yeah, I think we've had this same conversation when we did those episodes. This was... early on when dying actually meant something. Like it honestly wasn't until Superman died that the...
Superman died?
Dying, yes, he died.
I know, just fucking...
it was a big old... You fucker. It was a big old spectacle like, oh, this person's gonna die, but they're gonna come back. Oh, this person... Like, Johnny Storm died, but he's gonna come back. Wolverine died, and it was gonna be a big thing. He just came back. Like... I know in the Ultimate line, which I love, when they killed somebody off, they were dead.
They stayed dead, and that was nice.
Yes.
Because, dude, they fucking called the herd in that book.
God damn, they did.
Within the first, the first arc, pretty much, of everybody's storyline, they were, like, fucking destroying everybody. X-Men. Yeah, Ultimate X-Men. They killed, I think it was Ultimate X-Men.
Are you thinking of Ultimatum?
No, maybe that's what I was
thinking.
Which
was at the end of the first...
But it was the first, like, arc of the,
Well, it was after, like, 10 years.
Holy shit, they've been out for that long?
Look at that list over there, dude.
No, I read them.
Yeah, but I'm saying, all that before Ultimatum, that was all... Everything before Ultimatum. Sorry, I'm pouring in my giant shelf here with all my comics.
I've been admiring that shelf since we started.
Yeah, it's pretty damn big.
It's held together with... Geek Jizz and Broken Dreams.
Not Broken Dreams. All right, so what we have here in the issue here.
Oh yeah, comics is, again.
So Magneto is lamenting. I guess he just needs a little more time to create his ultimate non-mutant variant. And he's hoping that Angel will provide enough, I guess, of a distraction for the X-Men and Kazar.
Look, I'm distracting you.
That's pretty much what happened this whole issue.
Yeah, that's all it was. We can literally go through this quick, where it is Angel trying to talk to the X-Men, and Kazar, like, no, he is...
Kazar literally hits him with a fucking tree. That is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Kazar is like, no, he's been swayed by the Creator, and... Then as they are as Kazar is running past after he knocks Angel down, all of the other
non-mutant variants,
the
Brotherhood of non-mutant variants,
they come to attack, and again is enough distraction for Magneto to get what he needs done. A battle ensues. Nothing really happens. Like there really is no good winner or loser, but. Angel's like, oh no, I fucked up. I need to go tell the Creator that I couldn't stop them. And as he wanders into the
fortress,
I guess that's the what you would lair. Call it.
It's like taller, and it looks like it's like concreted in.
Yeah, there was no building, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Either way, he comes wandering in, and he sees that the Creator is Magneto, and then we get a quick. A quick little rundown of how he survived.
Okay, so this is confusing the shit out of me because he throws on the helmet,
mm-hmm.
and then automatically he's got the cape on with it because he didn't have a cape on before.
It's a magic cape.
See my cape?
Maybe the cape and the helmet are attached. Like, so
would that make it a cowl then instead of a?
At that one, maybe.
But then wouldn't that make the helmet a cowl, not a helmet?
Yeah.
I just rocked his world. Did you see that?
Did we skip over the part where that scary, what's his name, Lupo or whatever? Lupus?
Lupo? Oh, yeah, the wolves?
Yeah, that was my favorite part of this whole book, was this whole part where...
Oh, no, it's on the next page.
Yeah, so we haven't got to that part yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they blow up the wall, and like the Bat Boy looking guy is in there, and he screams, which I assumed as a scream and not like a howl because like no sound came out. And so when I read it, it was just like ah, and all of the wolves in the world showed up.
Yeah, this is the back at the X-Men. The X-Men are fighting all of the NMVs.
So these wolves on this page are so badass looking. And it looks like it's going to be this super intimidating threat until Zabu jumps out.
Zabu just rocks their world.
He just scares them away.
Yeah, they're like little bitches.
Well, like the one actually looks like he's in pain.
yeah, maybe just because he's a little bitch and he got scared.
Hey, if you shit yourself as fast as that wolf just shit itself, you'd be in pain too, okay?
That's fair.
But when I got to that page, I was like, okay, here we go. Super rad animal fight. This is going to be gnarly. And it's like two panels.
Nope. JK.
yeah.
So they go rushing into Magneto's, I guess it is kind of a fortress because it had the wood barrier around the pillar, the stone building.
It's the Fortress of Magnitude.
Oh, God. anyway. Inside is Amphibious and Brainchild. Brainchild?
Yeah.
And Brainchild says, he tells Amphibious, he's like, if you strike the 17th stone on the nearest corner of the nearest column, you'll attain the physical victory over the invaders. Speaking of the X-Men. So Amphibious is like, well, gee golly, okay, sure.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to boing off of that with my frog
legs. No. He spracked off of it. Oh, God, that sounds wrong.
Sprack, sorry.
Oh, shit. And, yeah, so he does that. He jumps around and starts knocking.
Jump around.
He's not crisscross. Wait.
No.
Shit.
That'd be jump.
Sorry.
Fuck.
But, yeah, he starts jumping around, knocks these pillars loose. The rocks come falling down on the X-Men. And Jean stops it from hitting them. And then Beast grabs the Frogman. And he's like, wait, what? Now I'm supposed to win. What's going on? This gave enough time for Brainchild to toss his
brain.
Tomahawk.
Well, he's got a stone, he's got a stone hammer, actually, is basically what it looks like.
Yeah, and Cyclops is able to just use his optic beams
and explode it. Like, it's nothing.
There was no point. Then I love how Bobby just throws up a snowball and knocks Brainchild out.
Dude, okay, like, it wasn't just a snowball. You remember when you were a kid on the playground and you'd take that one piece of snow, you'd pack it down until it was solid ice, and you'd roll a light coating of snow over it so it looked like a snowball, so that way when you drilled somebody, it'd leave bruises? Maybe that was just me.
That might be just me. I put rocks in there.
What a deal.
Yo, I can totally relate to that because I've definitely seen snow in my hometown before.
Can't sense the sarcasm at all in that.
Nope, none. I've totally seen it every day.
All right, what I want you to do is go to your freezer. Leave the door open for about 35 to 45 minutes. The ice that forms around the outside, scrape it all off with your fingernails. Wad it into a ball. You have made your first snowball.
Oh, my God.
I think you might have enough for, like, a golf ball size.
Nice.
And maybe throw it at your girlfriend. She'll appreciate it.
I doubt that.
This is what we would do on the playground. Is like, it would get so hot on, like, the asphalt because I grew up in the suburbs just north of L.A., so it would get to, like, 115, 120 degrees out here.
Ugh.
We would scrape the tar on the asphalt with our fingernails and make tar balls and throw those at each other.
I have actually done that before. I've done that, so too. I can't say anything.
Yeah. On my road growing up, whenever they retard it. Yeah, I would
say they retard it. So you grew up on a retard road.
God damn it! You asshole. Anyway,
see, my dad drove a dump truck, so he had shit all the time. So
that makes sense. I grew up out in the country, so they'd tar the road and then put stone down.
No, I know how it works.
Okay. Back to here, Beast is threatening the Amphibious to find out where this creator is. And Amphibious is like, oh, he's right over there.
See the door that we are guarding?
Yeah.
That's the door
that's opening up right now by itself. That's right there. And they're like, wait, the door's opening up by itself? And
aren't those metal doors?
On the other side is Magneto, the big reveal.
Okay, but dude, all I have to say is the purple cape with the red helmet with the yellow suit is just god-awful.
Well, he definitely wasn't going for fashion this time around.
No.
So, what Magneto is revealing is his latest non-mutant variant, Lorelei. And she is...
She's a siren.
She is. I know... Did you ever watch the X-Men cartoon from the 90s?
Yeah, but I haven't watched it, you know, in the 90s. I was born in 89, so it's a little foggy.
Gotcha.
Dude. But I remember into it when it was on.
It was a great show. Loved it. You probably remember better than I do.
Dude.
Did she ever show up?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Because I know that they had a part where they were in the Savage Lands.
Yeah.
But
I do remember that part.
There's nothing like this. Because Xavier was walking and yes. Magneto couldn't use his powers.
Well, I'm just curious if... Because Lorelei seems like a character that pops up later. I just don't remember.
I mean, I'm sure she's made things pop up before, too.
Anyway, but yeah, she is a siren. And she basically takes control of all of...
The guys. No, dude. Would it have not been funny shit if one of the guys wouldn't have been affected?
Well, it's funny you
like
say
Bobby.
That.
Like Bobby.
Exactly.
Funny you say that, too. Because here in, what was it, 2013 or 14, when the first class, the original class, apparently get time travel into the present, and Bobby Drake, Iceman, reveals that he's gay.
I would have forgot that the naked guy that flies around on an ice slide.
So he had a.
So what you're saying is snowballing wasn't just his power.
Oh, Jesus. Well, no,
oh,
that's.
No.
Well, I just find it funny because
do they have the term snowballing down in Southern California, or do you guys call it asphalting?
It's called snowballing. No, everyone in Southern California just jizzes black goo.
That's because things are known to cause cancer in California.
I know what my next Patreon question is. But no, like, it's...
All of those guys are going to have no idea what the hell that is.
That's why it's going to be great.
Like a fucking weirdo.
No, I just found it funny because they initially changed Bobby's history just to sell stories.
Yeah.
Which is typical.
Oh, that's because J.K. Rowling started writing for Marvel. Hey. So Jean's the only one that's not affected by Lorelai because, obviously, you know, Jean's not into chicks right now. Dude, it's the 60s. She was into the chicks at least at some point in time.
I think her daughter is. Anyway, whatever.
Like this is my Rachel? Issue with this. Yeah. Is that it's just this weird, like, pseudo-feminist rhetoric where it was, like, the 60s. And, like, we've gone through so many different waves of feminism to where, like, yeah, I'm sure that was really important at the time. That was, like, this is a woman's job, right? Like, cool. Awesome. It's 1969. Fucking rad. I'm glad this is happening. But, like, when you just see that now, you're just kind of like, yeah, but, like, you're just kind of still being an X-Men. Like, you're not... It's not like she was like, yo, I'm using my femininity as, like, a power to show equality and how, like, we are all equals as an X-Men. She's just like, haha, you seduced all the guys. I'm not a lesbian. Haha. Like, that's was, like, the letter.
Yeah.
So basically what we're trying to say is, Marvel, if you're listening out there, when Lorelai shows up in the new X-Men line, totally make Jean fall for it and make Bobby not fall for it.
Well, oh no, Jean did come back.
Pretty badass, actually.
I was gonna be like, "Well, no, Jean's dead, but she also came back from dead."
Yeah.
So
don't they all?
Well, the staples were Uncle Ben, Jason Todd, Bucky, until Bucky and Jason Todd came back. And now it's just Uncle Ben.
Go Spidey.
Kinda.
Depends on what universe you're in.
You have you haven't finished Clone Saga yet, so
nope. I haven't even started. Conspiracy. I haven't even started. I've been too busy reading all this.
That's fair.
Okay, regardless, so Gene throws a table at him, and he uses guns.
Gene throws a table at this machine that's like radar or something. Magneto uses guns because he says, what was it? If I did not have to curtail my magnetic powers in the midst of this delicate apparatus, referring to this device that she's trying to destroy. So apparently... his power is so magnificent that it would automatically draw in every, even without him controlling it, every metal piece around him, which, when the fuck did that happen?
Yeah, I don't buy that. Because, like, for him, the whole thing is that he could control any metal around him.
Exactly.
Right, he could be like, no, I want to control this one, not this one.
Yeah, so the fact that he's saying, and maybe it's when he fell down into the Savage Land, it fucked with his powers, and he can't manipulate it the way he wants.
I blink my head. Things don't work right.
Maybe. Honestly, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because...
look, comic book logic dictates that he can't do it anymore. Got it?
at the moment. So what Jean, you know, Jean's throwing things at the device, and Magneto's like, nope, fuck you, bitch, and just blasts everything out.
And he pulls a gun, he's like, no, I'm going to shoot you too. And she's like, oh yeah? And then... Out of nowhere, Cyclops blasts the gun out of his hand.
Because she's controlling him.
Exactly.
Well, controlling his optic beams.
His power, yeah.
Yeah. And so she uses his optic beams to destroy the machine, which then turns all of the non-mutant variants back to...
normal people.
Swamp things.
Or, quote-unquote, swamp savages.
Yeah. Right. Because that's what he was using to make these people.
Yeah, native.
I don't know. I don't get that one. The X-Men are obviously get out of the trance. They rush out of the building as the device is being coming down and setting the bricks on fire.
Yeah.
Because that's normal.
It's totally normal. It's again, natural.
I did watch Game of Thrones.
And, oh, see, this
and that was Dragonfire. So.
This right here is a throwback to the tower card in the tarot deck.
Ah.
I don't know, but it fits now.
If Emily was here, she could tell me. But yeah, so we end the episode, or we end the issue with all of the X-Men winning, I guess.
Yeah.
So basically our 1960s comic tells us that the heroes win.
Wow.
Right? Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you enjoyed listening to Cam, then please check out Wreck My Podcast, where him and his friends talk about everything and nothing. You can find them on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram at Wreck My Podcast. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this X-Men story.